just wanted to kind of touch on just a few things. I guess the big question, one of the big questions I did want us to kind of talk about, I know that almost all of you really addressed this, but what are some practical things that we can do in our churches to encourage more diversity, or to make it more comfortable for people that are different from us, different culture? You know, a lot of our churches are, you know, mostly white, and I can imagine that'd be very intimidating to walk in there, you know, to even want to walk in there. What are some things we can do? Some practical ideas.
I would just say, and these guys can speak to that too, I think we gotta be intentional to really put forth an effort to love all types of people. It's one thing to say we love all white people, it's one thing to say we love all white people to the church, and God bless you for that. But how are you accepting them? So if there's folks in our neighborhood, or in our churches, and even if there's not, it's going to really be strategic and intentional about reaching all nations and everybody. And then once we begin to, and like I said, it may be intimidating for them to come to the church at first and be the only white or only black family there. But I think we love them. We don't want to be too weird, you know, and scare them away necessarily. But then they need to follow up after they come to visit and just form a relationship with them. And the reality is we can't control whether or not they get saved or not. That's really up to God to save them. We can share and love. Really, before they really get to the point where God may save them, we first have to love them. We have to love them with our actions, we have to love them with our words, and really be intentional.
Anybody else want to jump in on that?
Say to them that don't know us, that keeps them from coming closer to the gospel. perceiving that there are many things out in the news right now, and there's an acceptance to around people from Mexico and other countries coming into the company, into the country illegally. That whole conversation can be a big stumbling block. So not saying that you can't be proud of where you live. I am American, I love my country, all by all means, I love where I live. But there are certain things I can align myself to that will shut somebody out. Church has to address it in a proper way, that we separate our patriotism a little bit more from our Christian law, because it can cause us not to be able to reach people for the right reasons. And again, I'm not saying that you have to be patriotic not to love your country, because I do just as much as the next individual, but that person does matter more. This country is not going to always be here. Their opportunity to give the gospel is something that's always presented to them. So it's just something to consider. There's a proper way to do it, a proper way to go about it.
Yeah, that's, I think that's, that is a something that I heard several different people talking about, and Daniel talked about it as well. It's like we have sort of a kingdom responsibility that we have for this American sort of identity too. And it's like, you know, where does the American identity stop and the Christian identity start? And where is, you know, that's an important thing to figure out. So, I don't know if anybody's got like a... yeah, okay, go for it.
That's on both sides. It's growing. You don't align yourself with that life matter as a person. You stay with that. And you have to be careful with that side. It's growing. Seduction of pulling us into many of our identity as us and them. And that can also witness on the other side of the world. You know, when you become too separate from your identity, from your skin color, then you are more forgotten. So it's almost cool. I don't think more throughout history of America.
Trying to tell the world that everybody needs to be Republican, Democrat, and vote this way or that way.
conversations because there's so much historically, whether it's one side or the other side, that has aligned itself traditionally to biblical values. We kind of drink the Kool-Aid on that and kind of align ourselves even more so because we do live here, we do operate here, our churches are here. So again, I'm not telling you not to be able to think that we live as your meeting, but people outside of your church, people outside of your brothers and sisters in Christ don't understand oftentimes the motivations for why we believe the things we believe, why we vote the way that we vote things, and that is what makes it even more important for us to preach Christ first, because there is no context to it. It's just the other side, again, telling the other side that they're wrong because of X, Y, and Z. It always comes back down to something that doesn't equate to anything. It's not going to be here when we all die, right? It doesn't matter if I win this, you know, this battle and this piece of legislation changes to this, if all those people still aren't from any closer to Christ. So I think that's what we have to think intentionally, and I pray that, you know, we have leaders in our local governments, and even on the federal level, that align themselves more that way, because I feel like a lot of times when I use this phrase, obviously, but we try to create that government. I mean, that's a lot of what politics comes into, is when we try to govern and mold and create this thing that's going to be either, you know, happy and good for everybody, or at least happy and good for my side, and not really worry about the consequences where it's not possible here. The only reason why there isn't a heaven on earth is because there's so few people, and there are always going to be some people who are involved in things like that apart from Christ. So, again, if you not, I think it goes down to the verses that we talk about in Matthew and Luke. It is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And you really have to take a deep dive into what that looks like, because if you aren't doing those things, the reason why he says those are the first of the greatest commandments, because when we do those things to that team, probably there is no question on whether we should participate in politics, because the politics isn't going to cause us to drive others away from Christ. They're only in life. It becomes another attitude, it becomes another tool. So I think we really do have to be purposeful on making sure we keep Christ first.
Just to kind of bring you to what the other brother said, I call us to agree that God is sovereign. So when we approach controversial issues in politics, let's remember that God is sovereign. And that every other area of life, whether it's politics or economics or our view of history or our view about science, you know, creation, evolution, it all should come under that umbrella and that truth that God is sovereign. And if we develop our worldview based on who God is, the revelation he has given us, then I think that we'll be able to handle those issues in a better way. But if we put politics up at the top, everything will be in the sky. And I think what can easily happen is, you know, we hear different things, we kind of put together a mosaic view of what feels good to us, what seems right to us. But when we remember that God is sovereign, and then we put everything in perspective, Christian worldview in perspective, you know, viewing everything from the Bible's perspective, then everything will fall into place. And I think what we have is competing worldviews. The worldview that God is true, and then the other worldview that's a atheism that says, you know, we can, through our economic policies, through our government policies, we can make a perfect world. Like Brother Jenkins said, it's not going to happen. And the good news is, we have the answer for why time and time again people have tried to legislate and through policies and government programs, millions and millions of dollars have tried to fix the world's problems. They never get fixed. Since the problem is right here, and all the people who are trying to fix the problems, they have the problems as well, with corruption and everything else comes in. But we have the answer.
So
The lesson to be with God is in our as much as we know the lesson to be with God is in our lesson to be with most for the right kingdom, the kingdom when he was visited. And that's often the lesson we're all aware of. Come with Jesus. Yeah. That's the only one that's going to make everything right. But while we're here, as best as we can, we have to go best we can to go back to what God gives us. And he saw us become different ones. But we have to be consistent. I think it's gracious. If Obama's in there, we can't be bashing him. And then when Trump's in there, we got to be saying, pray for him. The world sees a bunch of y'all. If we see our democracy, we're going to pray for our president, pray for all of us. Facebook asking of the Democrats or Republicans, it's not helping you get some rights.
Right.
It's not stumbling, like the brother said. And we have to get our eyes on praying for our president and preaching. We can. I pray for politicians. I pray for God to grow our politicians. That will preach. And that will not just preach because he wants to preach votes, but because he loves the Lord. We need to be here. We need to be challenged. We need to be here. And that's what I said, no. We have much to do. And that's what I look at being a politician. But being into politics, John got your thing. It's going to cost us our head. Y'all don't have to lose our head whether it's the Republican president or the Democrat president. Sooner or later, we're going to lose our head. We know that we're going to lose our head. That's the thing he's going to do with your life. And I pray for you right now. The bottom line is, like John, Christians are going to lose their heads. Black Lives Matter will not crucify me because I say no to my religion. They are not my family. The Republicans, the conservatives, those who are out there, white supremacists, they will crucify me because I say no to them.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, man. Whether it's left or right, we're lost. We're lost on both sides. We're pushing those people away from the back. We're no better than any other thing we have ourselves by. It's made it right. My generation calls that even the same energy. We got to keep that same energy.
So just changing gears a little bit. What if somebody says, well, I don't know anybody from another culture, or I don't know anybody that's different. What do you say to somebody like that? Like, I'm a Christian, I know I'm supposed to go witness some people from, you know, crossing those cultural barriers. What do you say?
Go to the gym. Go to the gym. Go to the gym. Every time. I mean, our neighbors in the past, that is bad. Sometimes, I guess, like the others, they didn't take it out of the time, take a risk. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I've been asked for a different class. Come on, I mean, who you work with, where you work. You know what I mean? I think, to that point, there's this thing I've done that we, on either side, you know, we say, well, I have white friends, I have black friends. And I think society today has changed the definition, changed the look of the friends of the world. You know, just because you're friends with somebody on social media doesn't make them a friend. And I challenge people when they say, I'm glad I'm black friends. I said, well, what was the last time you had your black friends in your house? Or what was the last time you had black friends in your house? Yeah. Now you're talking about friends. When I can invite somebody that's different from myself to my house, or I can invite to their house, we break bread together. We have to extend ourselves and be willing to receive what other people extend themselves to us. And I think, again, it's about being intentional about that. Because I think until we are able to lay aside our pride and really take that step, that walk of faith, that may be risky, that may be uncomfortable, to me, that's where I'm not a celebrate together. While we may not always agree on every single issue or every single thing, I still love you, brother. Amen. And I'm not going to unfriend you. I'm not going to not come to your house. I'm not going to be like, we're friends. You know, maybe I'll be intentional. And so for that person, I'm saying, just be intentional about reaching out, knowing that it's risky, but it'll be worth it.
Anybody got any final thoughts or comments before we wrap this thing?
Well, I just want to say thank you to you guys for hosting this and not just going away with it all together. That would have been easy to do, but I think we needed this today. And you know, inside of you. So I just thank you.
There's nothing partisan or there's nothing divisive that was said, I don't think. So I think that it's all just lifting up Christ, which is, I think, the whole point of what we've been doing here today. So that's great. Well, once again, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Let's see. All right, Brother Jackson, why don't you pray?